We're continuing to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, text 59 and 60. Evam kayena manasa vachasa cha manugasam akatam. It is Gautama, I couldn't see it properly. It's a little dark. Evam kayena manasa vachasa cha manogatam. Paricharya mano bhagavan. Bhaktimat paricharyaya. Evam kayena manasa vachasa chamano gatam. Paricharya mano bhagavan. Bhaktimat paricharyaya. Evam kayena manasa vachasa chamano gatam. Paricharya mano bhagavan. Bhaktimat paricharyaya. Pumsamamayinam samyak bhajatam bhavavardhanam. Sri yudhisyatyabhimatam yadharmadisudhihinam. Evam. Thus, kayena, by the body, manasa, by the mind, vajasa, by the words, cha, also, managatam, simply by thinking of the Lord, paricharyamana, engaged in the devotional service. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktimat, according to the regulative principles of devotional service. Paricharyaya, by worshipping the Lord. Pumsam, of the devotee. Amayinam, who is sincere and serious. Samyak, perfectly. Bhajatam, engaged in devotional service. Bhavavardhana, the Lord who increases the ecstasy of the devotee. Seya, ultimate goal. Dishati, bestows. Abhimatam, desire. Yad, as they are. Dharma adisu, regarding spiritual life and economic development. Dehinam, of the conditioned souls. Translation. Anyone who thus engages in the devotional service of the Lord seriously and sincerely with his mind, words and body, and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods, is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. If a devotee desires material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation from the material world, he is awarded these results. Purport. Devotional service is so potent that one who renders devotional service can receive whatever he likes as a benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls are very much attached to the material world, and thus by performing religious rites, they want the material benefits, known as Dharma Artha. Om Agyanati Madandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshuraminidam Yanatasmai Sri Guruvay Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swaparantikam. So one who wants temporary benefits from spiritual activity is classified as a person whose knowledge has been stolen by material desires. He's under the influence of illusion. So such a person may be inclined to worship the demigods because the demigods are providing temporary benefits. A Vaishnava, however, is never interested in worshipping the demigods, nor is he interested in the personal Brahman. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was explaining that the Upanishads can never give us the ecstatic symptoms and transformations in the body that occur for one who is becoming attached to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because just by studying about Brahman alone, one can not sufficiently understand that the absolute truth is Parameshwar. It begins in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada in the introduction is making the point that Param Satyam and Parameshwar are the same, or the Supreme Absolute Truth and the Supreme Controller are the same. So this is understood from Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, one has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in order to develop the connection with Krishna. This Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam. It is the spotless Purana, which deals with the constitutional position. Dharma should not be temporary. Temporary is not real dharma. Dharma must be sanatan dharma, eternal dharma. Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many people in the world who profess different type of faith, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, and so on. Christian, I forgot. All these are considered to be a particular belief, right, but it is not relating to the eternal position of the soul, to be the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the eternal constitutional position. And that doesn't change. One may change his faith, but one still, his duty remains the same. Therefore, devotional service or bhakti is all about being the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore it is actual religious principle. And everything else is condemned. Srimad Bhagavatam immediately in the second verse is condemning all other religious activities. Dharma Projita Kaitavu Traparamo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Bhagavatam is basically stating that other types of so-called religions are cheating religions. It's cheating. So it's not accepting them as actually helpful. So, but one who is practicing spiritual life without proper shelter of the spiritual master is bound to fall prey to material desires. It is inevitable. Inevitable. But one who takes shelter of a spiritual master can actually develop an insight in the actual goal of life. The actual goal of life, Vasudeva Paragati. It is Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. Vasudeva Paro Dharmo. Vasudeva is also the supreme aim of all religious principles. Vasudev is also the aim of tapasya. Vasudev is also the objective of yoga. Vasudev is also the ultimate end of all knowledge. In this way, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the true objective. And one who is taking to the absolute truth can only take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, it's highly unfortunate if someone engages in devotional service and starts to ask for material benefits. This is karma misra bhakti. Here one's devotional service is mixed with karma, with the desire to enjoy the material energy. But we have no business with such activity. Therefore, only devotional service, only Krishna is important. A devotee who is not chanting the holy name purely, but who is committing offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name, such a devotee cannot truly reach the platform of pure devotional service, and therefore his devotional service will naturally become mixed with karma and jnana. But it is said, if one wants to overcome this state of nam aparat, then what is recommended by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is to simply chant all the time. He says, by chanting all the time, one can overcome the stage of nam aparat, right? Because the chanting is purifying one from the offensive stage of chanting, the chanting itself. So simply by chanting constantly, one can overcome the stage of nam aparat. So is stated. Kirtanya sadahari. And that is the actual religious principle. Nirantar nama sankirtan. That's what it must be. To constantly chant the holy name in some way or other. So even while we are engaged in some work, or even while we are walking, still in the background the chanting must be there. Even while we are studying, in the background the holy name can be there. Even while passing exams, we can still be chanting. In fact, then we can chant more to take shelter of Krishna. Right? When at the time of a difficult test, we must chant the holy name. We remember that story of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, of this one saintly lady who was coming to Bhagavatam classes, and who during the class her mouth was still moving and there were complaints. How can you do this while the class is going on? And she said, no problem, my tongue is always chanting, but I can perfectly hear. So tongue never stops chanting. This is a fact. One must somehow or other be absorbed in this holy name. So much so that the holy name just keeps vibrating within. And even if we are sort of moving things around in this world, that in the background still the holy name continues chanting. This is not so difficult. This is actually feasible. This is actually possible, simply by absorbing in different types of chanting, either kirtan, either japa. But every day we must have extensive association with the holy name. This is very important. Without extensive association with the holy name, things become very dry. Srila Prabhupada did not stress so much in our movement lengthy chanting of japa, and said for most Westerners this will be difficult to chant many, many rounds and so on. But he did stress kirtan, a lot of kirtan. And initially the devotees would go out in the morning and in the evening and have like 6 to 8 hours of kirtan a day. That's powerful. Without a doubt. So we may chant. Nowadays the fashion is sit down bhajans, right? And that's also good, right? Maybe because some of the leaders are getting older and now they're sitting down, because the same ones that now sit down to chant bhajans used to jump around more than anybody else and would play their wampus even on the floor, I have seen. So, and now it's all slow bhajan. So with old age, maybe the style changes, but still the spirit must be the same. The absorption in the holy name is very important, because that holy name is the essence of all religious principles. And what else will we do? Of course, we can engage in so much service. Of course, we can maintain temples. Of course, we can spend our time cleaning. Of course, we can spend our time cooking. Of course, we can spend our time decorating. Of course, we can do fabulous deity worship, and it's all wonderful. But if we are not investing in serious chanting, and in really chanting, not just mechanically, but chanting in a mood of submission. Last night, I kind of touched upon this topic of submission, and this morning I just was reading a little more somewhere, and the same topic of submission came up again. And this time it was about chanting in a submissive mood. And it said if one is not chanting in a submissive mood, then one can never get the full results of this chanting. Only one who chants in a submissive mood can experience bhava, because Srila Prabhupada said this chanting of Hare Krishna is not just about clanging and banging kartals, but one should actually chant in a submissive, prayerful mood. So here the mood is also being stressed, and that the mood must be to approach Krishna in the mood of a servant, and to actually sing for the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, Gornitai are very pleased when everyone is very enthusiastic and jumping around and so on. Wherever the holy name is resounding, they're very, very happy. Still, that mood of submission is being stressed if we want to really go on to a platform of bhava. Namasada gana, namagana sadaruchi, that one should always chant the holy name with great taste, constantly. This is actually required. So that will come by serving the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada said, you cannot just serve the Vaishnavas. You serve the Vaishnavas in Krishna. You serve Guru in Krishna, both. Then you will get that taste. By serving the Vaishnavas, we develop the taste for chanting, the taste for hearing about Krishna. And that is required. So a service to the Vaishnavas is a principle that must be there. But ultimately, it must translate in chanting. We must chant, regularly just chant Hare Krishna. And if we are not getting into chanting Hare Krishna, and if we think that 16 rounds is sufficient and that it stops there, then we are making very meager offering. It's like offering Krishna bread with very thin butter. There's butter, but it's thin. He obviously likes thick butter. So also in the chanting of the holy name, he likes that we offer generously, not just miserly. Oh, 16 finished. Yes. Job done. Of course, we go through the waves of life, and the three modes of material nature create different situations. In some days, we are very, very caught up in the material energy, and we come down to a minimum of chanting. Some days, We are sick, some days we are tired, and we struggle to just make 16 and so on, and sometimes, but we should always try to come back to another level. Therefore, I've stressed the need for rising early. Because when we rise early, then chanting becomes effortlessly. In the early morning, we can just chant. And therefore, this is the key. The key to increasing our chanting is simply move the time that we get up back. And if we don't do that, then we will never increase our chanting. Going to bed late is the worst habit for a Vaishnava, and it must be broken, without a doubt. Late nights are not recommended at all by the acharyas, at least not at the expense of early mornings. It's all about early mornings, because that's where we can do some quality time in our chanting, and that is required. So somehow or other, we have to make that, create a culture of that, a culture of early rising. Now, service may not always allow that. That's another matter. The one who does the last kitchen cleanup, the one who goes to the late night preaching program, and so on. What to be done? But whenever the opportunity arises, we should go back to this, this early morning program, which is so favorable for chanting the holy name. Nirantar Nama Sankirtan, that we always must chant. Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan, I think. Yeah, we must always chant this holy name of Krishna. So it's not so simple, but this is what we should attempt. So anyway, we can fill our day with hearing and chanting as much as possible, besides active service. Active service must be there, but wherever possible we should accompany it by hearing and chanting. We should hear as much as possible throughout the day, and when possible in our service to put on a tape or anything, we should do it. We have technology, and we should use this technology to strengthen our devotional service. We are meant to really go deeper in our spiritual life. Our movement as a whole is showing too many kanista dynamics, concerns about our personal situation, too much concern, and not enough concern about distributing the mercy. The Madhyamadhikari is concerned to distribute the mercy. He is not considering that my own personal requirements are so important. And the Madhyamadhikari is always making plans to distribute the mercy, and this is required. And it is irregardless of ashram. Ashram is not a consideration in this regards. One must distribute the mercy somehow or other. This is Madhyam. That should be our focus. But the kanista is concerned with his own facilities. But this is all temporary, our own personal facilities. So to be a preacher is very favorable to become a Madhyamadhikari. Not that by being a preacher one is automatically a Madhyamadhikari, and not that one who is not very active in preaching is automatically a Kanista Adhikari. It can be that one who is not such an active preacher still in the heart has a desire to spread the mercy as an advanced Madhyamadhikari, and that one who is a preacher is a total Kanista. But still, these activities ultimately can help us advance, because the real thing is not so much about our situation, what we get out of our spiritual life, but it is the difference we can make in the world. We have to make a difference in the world. How we're going to do that depends on the individual. Someone may distribute books. Someone else may preach through writing articles for Back to Godhead or for the Bhakti magazine or something like that. Prabhupada said, I want all my disciples to write. I want them to write. Someone else may speak and may give many, many lectures and they may dada away. So whatever the way is to preach, that is different. Someone may regularly visit people. Someone may send SMSs. Nowadays, you can get computer software by which you can send SMSs to people. So I know devotees who send every day SMSs to many people, and they send them like little Krishna conscious messages. And people talk about it. It makes a difference to them to get such an SMS. And it's just a small thing to type 7-8 lines, 5-7 lines every day. It's not a big deal. And just send it off, and many people get it on their phone. I'm also planning to start this now. I'm just getting aware of the software, and I'm just looking at it. Because why not just use these various means to reach many people in Krishna consciousness? So these are, there are many, many ways that we can do something. There was one lady, and she was publishing a calendar. And for every day she gave some meditation. Every day there was a meditation. And it was a very, very good calendar, actually. She would involve the appearance days, of course, of the acharyas and so on, the special days. But whatever it was, for each day, she's like giving a meditation of the day. It was appreciated by many Vaishnavas. Someone else decided to do slideshows and decided to do a slideshow of home altars, right? And just had like a big slideshow of many home altars, which was also appreciated, and many devotees felt encouraged by that. Right? Someone else has made a beautiful deity book, which is now available, and it costs some money, but if you have a little bit, you should get it, a book with photos of many deities, because it's not just a book with pictures, it's totally transcendental. And they are very good deity photos, extraordinary deity photos, taken by highly expert photographers. And just Krishna jumps off the page right there. And the potency is fully there in these photos. And just to sit there and look at that book, one is purified. Actually, the first copy of the book was offered in Vrindavan by my spiritual master, and then afterward to Srila Prabhupada, and then afterwards I had the opportunity to look at the book for a while, and as I was looking, I just felt purified. Just looking at the pictures, I felt the potency of the purification. The book is just surcharged with transcendental energy. It's something to... it's a gift to give. A powerful... Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Vishaka will take the orders. Okay. No problem. And she'll arrange a special discount for you as well. No problem. For you, she makes no profit. And so on. What can we say? So all I'm trying to point out is that there are many ways. It's not stereotype. How we can somehow or other do something to benefit the world with Krishna consciousness. But we have to do something to send this message of Krishna consciousness into the world or give it to other people. We can just do it through friends, right? And invite friends and cultivate them and invite them for prasadam, whatever we do, right? Or we can take friends to Radhadesh and to temples and in this way encourage them. There are many ways that we can preach, right? We can preach through philosophy, we can preach through socializing, we can preach through art, we can preach through writing, we can preach in many, many creative ways. But we must find a way. We cannot ignore it. If we ignore this concept of preaching, then we'll stay concerned with ourselves. And we will remain concerned with what benefits are we getting from our devotional service. What material facilities do I get? And we will not become fully dedicated as a servant. It's not possible. It's very difficult to, on the one hand, be attached to enjoying our material facilities, and on the other hand, be a servant. Because to be the enjoyer and to be a servant are contradictory terms. A servant may enjoy, but his mood is never that of the enjoyer. And we are the servant of Lord Chaitanya, therefore we are the servant of the mercy of the Lord. Being a servant means to carry the mercy and to somehow or other give that mercy to people. And to think of ways to spread the mercy. This is very valuable and very important. So, in this way, we would like to spread this mercy. Then we can really overcome our own self-interest. Otherwise, we'll be too much concerned with my spiritual life and my advancement and what I will get. And therefore, it's not good enough to just do service in the temple. We must, or one can do service in the temple, but then one must still have an arrangement to connect with people and to do something. Of course, Prabhupada said this is a preaching movement, and everyone who's part of it is part of the preaching movement, just as the Indian poster about the railways, you know, that everyone is working to keep the wheels moving, and the ticket, the one who sells the tickets is also part of keeping the wheels moving. So in that sense, everyone is part of the preaching. But the more we get active in this regards, the more we actually taste the nectar. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes we may preach in on the long term. When I was involved in the construction of the Mayapur Samadhi, I found it very difficult because it was all stone and steel, and a big building of stone and steel. And you can't speak to stone and steel. So what can you preach to stone and steel? And then there were people who were very greedy, who were supplying materials. They were supplying the stone and steel. And even if you would preach to them, then actually they were having a hidden agenda all the time. And while they were showing some interest, their real aim was to rip you off. And therefore, our real relationship with them was to make sure that they didn't rip us off, and we would have to be in competition with them. Sometimes we would have to rip them off so that it would balance out at the end. So what to say? This was very difficult. So I became depressed, and I felt like I can't preach in this service. This is not very nice. But I must say that after the samadhi opened, so many people came, and it was such big preaching. Actually, it increased the preaching so much. And I never expected that many people. I expected that it would be big, but not that big. So it is impressive sometimes. So sometimes we also see that we do an activity and there's not immediate result. It's long term. So whatever may be. Some do immediate preaching, long term preaching. But preaching must be. And we see how just a simple thing, right, can be very effective. Just going to the student flats, you know, that's like very important, because one can pick up, one can actually deliver some people there who are qualified and who can do something for this movement. So. Preaching with intelligence. Preaching is not just a matter of preach, preach, preach. Yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, preach to the walls. We should be ready to preach to the walls. Dear walls. Chant. Chant, chant. Krishna, Krishna. Echo from the walls. Why not? There are living entities everywhere. Sarvagaha. The living entities are all pervading. There are living entities everywhere. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, the theory that fire can actually sterilize an object from any living entities holds no ground, because the living entities are everywhere, all pervading. So they're certainly also present in fire. So, this is a kind of faith that Srila Prabhupada displayed. And this faith is really the basis of preaching. Without faith, what can you preach? If you're full of doubt, then if you preach, the result will be that everyone else will also be full of doubt. This is the situation. So there must be faith. Deep faith. We must therefore, in order to be able to preach, we have to develop depth in our faith. And in order to develop depth in our faith, we have to, first of all, go wide, just like a tree has many roots. A tree doesn't have one very deep root, right? But a tree has many, many roots, and then a tree is very strong and firm. So we also have to have a broad basis for our faith, and we should understand that our faith rests on many things. Our faith rests on tradition. Right? It's a tradition. There's a sampradaya, there's a parampara. Our faith rests on all the previous acharyas. Our faith rests on scriptures. Our faith rests on the testimonies of many acharyas, great devotees, how Krishna revealed his mercy. Our faith rests on the holy dhammas. Our faith is resting on devotees, on living devotees, and needs to rest on relationships with devotees. So there are many factors that are there supporting our faith. And when our faith has a broad basis, and then we can strengthen that faith by going deeper and understanding better why we are having faith. To just have a great Guru Puja, Jaya Prabhupada is very nice. But why? Why is Prabhupada so wonderful? We have to deepen that understanding more and more. How Srila Prabhupada is wonderful. And the more we get a mature understanding of how Srila Prabhupada is wonderful, then we are getting strong. Sometimes it is said there is no limit to the glorification we can offer to the spiritual master. That may be so, but the glorification must be just. It must be correct. I was reading a letter this morning where there had been a meeting in Bombay where they were trying to redefine the position of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON, and they were stating that they were suggesting to refer to Srila Prabhupada as the preeminent acharya for all the members of ISKCON for the next 10,000 years. So, what would you think of that? Would you think that's a good idea? Preeminent? It means the predominant, the preeminent is more effulgent, right? It's like going out. Dominant is like lording it over, and eminent is the whose influence is predominantly spreading everywhere. That is preeminent. So the preeminent acharya for all the members of ISKCON for the next 10,000 years. What do you think of that? Would you go for it? She says Jai. What do you say?
I would, 10,000 years is a little limited. I would change
to
something else.
For eternity. He would go a step further. Eternity. Yeah? And, then I saw the response to that from Jayadvaita Swami, right? And he just went through it with a chopping knife, right? And he just got into the text. And he said, preeminent, right? Why are you saying that we are known as Rupa Nugas? We are known as followers of Rupa Goswami. So what about that, you know? Why are you not calling Rupa Goswami then preeminent, the principal, the most... So here you are in trouble, right? Here you are like creating a conflict, right? He pointed out. So this is a problem. Then he said, acharya, which definition of acharya are you applying here? Right? Some are saying some definition of acharya means simply a spiritual master, right? Another definition of acharya is one who teaches by example. And yet another definition of acharya is one who is the leader of a particular institution. So which definition of acharya are you applying here? It's unclear, right? The next 10,000, for all the members of ISKCON for the next 10,000 years, how do you know that ISKCON is going to last for the next 10,000 years, right? In which crystal ball or which tea leaves did you read that, right? So by the time that the whole proposal had been analyzed and cut to threads, right, there was nothing left over it and left of it and finally Maharaj said, maybe we should just stick to founder acharya. Right? Maybe we should just stick to founder acharya. Right? That's what Prabhupada told us. It's clear, unambiguous, there's no doubt about it, to what it means. Right? Let us just stick with that. Right? Jai. So, we must get our siddhanta straight, right? Very straight. Yeah. We must hear again and again so that our conclusions are straight, so that we understand, because otherwise with great fervor we are going to preach, but unfortunately we got it wrong. Yeah? And then what benefit is there? Right. So siddhanta must be thoroughly absorbed, and that's where we go deep. That's where our roots are going deeper. So first we go broad. We must have broad faith. We must have faith in Srila Prabhupada. We must have faith in the sadhus, faith in the sampradaya, faith in the previous acharyas, faith in the scriptures, faith in the deities, faith in prasadam. Faith in prasadam is very important. We should not be so renounced that, no, I will take only dry rice. Right? No, we should just, no, I need a piece of cake and put that cream on top. Put it. It's bad for you. No, it's good for your soul. It's bad for your body. I know. You're going to get probably liver problems and probably your sinus will freak out. But, you know, the soul needs some prasadam. Yes. That is like very delicious. So to take shelter is important. We need all these different things. Then that is broad basis of faith. And then by understanding our siddhanta deeper and deeper and better, the roots are growing deeper. And then by acting upon that siddhanta and applying it very nicely, then our roots are still going deeper, because we get deeper and deeper realizations. And by realizing that we are totally dependent upon the Vaishnavas and serving them, then we get the mercy. And as we are getting their mercy, still our realizations are growing deeper. And Krishna is pleased with us. And Krishna may give us so much insight. And our roots are growing deeper. So in this way, a preacher must build up his faith. And then be merciful. It's useful to hang a big sign on your door or on the wall in big letters. Be merciful. Just be merciful. This is what will help us to overcome this tendency for dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which is quite strong actually. Okay, what is the... any questions, any comments? The time is moving along. Questiones?
So, Srila Follow wants Diksha Guru absolutely, because the GBC is higher than Diksha.
Today I read a reference and said that the topmost devotee, he experienced the presence of his spiritual master in every atom of his existence. What do you think of that? I think that settles that, huh? Hallelujah. Both. There's no difference between Diksha and Siksha Guru. Guru is one. And that's not Mahavat philosophy. But Guru Tattva is one. Now you look bewildered. But Srila Prabhupada gave this lecture in Bombay in 36 or 32? I think 36. Could be 32. 32 maybe. Well, yeah. Okay, maybe 32. Vyasa Puja address in Bombay. You must read it, right? So you go look it up. Right? The Vyasa Puja address of Srila Prabhupada, which he gave in 1932. And there he gives a total explanation on Guru Tattva. And he explains that Guru is one, but that the Acharya is the embodiment of that Guru Tattva. And the different gurus are the embodiment of the same guru tattva, because it cannot be different. It must be the same, because the absolute truth is the same. Therefore, there cannot be any difference between Diksha and Siksha guru. Guru is one. So in this respect, when you feel the guru present in all the atoms of your existence, it can be both Diksha and Siksha guru. And it should be both. One cannot make it the Siksha guru and neglect the Diksha guru. That is not possible. One must always duly appreciate all one's gurus. Vande gurun, it starts in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gurun is plural. He's worshipping all his gurus. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Yes.
It's also when we sing in the morning, Buddha, Shri, it's also Guru.
Vande Guru. Now it gets into Sanskrit grammar, and there I'm lost. I'm sorry. But I don't think so. Vande Guru.
Because we had a discussion, I don't know where I got it, but we were discussing one time, who is this referred to? Is this referred to Prabhupada?
Yeah. Well, that I can explain the purport. That's no problem. But don't ask me to give the Sanskrit grammar. The purport I can give you. Yes, the purport is that this is not Srila Prabhupada does not have proprietorship to the Guru Vastakam. The Guru Vastakam is meant to refer to all spiritual masters, right? And therefore, through Guru Vastakam, it's not meant that one exclusively worships Srila Prabhupada. And this is like what my spiritual master taught me, because he basically made the point that to chant the Guru Vastakam, and then after Guru Vastakam to chant Prabhupada, right? Not even Guru Dev, Prabhupada himself. Now mind you, Prabhupada himself did not like Guru Dev. Yeah? Guru Dev was Prabhupada didn't like, because Prabhupada said this is impersonal. So that's out of the question. We're not even talking about Gurudev. We're talking about chanting Prabhupada. So my spiritual master made the point that chanting Prabhupada after Guru Vastakam creates this impression that it's exclusively Prabhupada that we're worshipping there. That's not a fact. Right? Actually, Guru Vastakam is the glorification for all spiritual masters. And the spiritual master, of course, has to come up to the standard, which is a serious responsibility.
Can a
Ritvik go back to Godhead? The answer is yes. A Ritvik can go back to Godhead through Kripa Siddha, not through Sadhana Siddha. See, the Ritvik is not perfectly following the process of devotional service. And he's actually got it wrong. He has misconceptions. So he's like contaminated with wrong philosophy. But his intentions may be very, very sincere in his heart. So if somehow or other he gets the mercy of a great Vaishnava or of the Supreme Lord, he may go back to Godhead. But only by Kripa Siddha, not by Sadhana Siddha. That won't be possible, because his Sadhana is wrong. So therefore the Ritvik position is a Nitvik position. It is not recommended. Or Nitvit position. Nitvit. Yeah. So unfortunately, I think that the word nitwit is pretty clear if you know Dutch. Nitwit. Yeah. Okay, we're finished now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.